Welcome to our podcast, Beyond the Pandemic, Clinical Information Management and Exchange Challenges and Best Practices. Today, I'm here with Dr. Angel Mena, an adult medicine physician at TriHealth and Chief Medical Officer of Clinician Collaboration Platform at Halo Health, and Dr. Stephen Rube, Family Physician and Senior Vice President, Global Clinical Services at IMO. Welcome, Dr. Mena and Dr. Rube.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us today.
Great. So our topic today is, you know, COVID-19 created myriad challenges for integrated delivery systems and hospitals and health systems around how to manage and share patient information, you know, especially with the rapid deployment of telehealth and clinicians needing to access data from various sources, and then also remote working staff. So, you know, this inability of getting the complete picture of the patient has really impacted clinical outcomes, revenue and quality improvement, you know, among other clinical, operational, and financial initiatives. So in this podcast, we're going to identify the pain points and discuss how technology can address those challenges, not only during the pandemic, but beyond, so that these providers are in a robust position to manage and exchange patient data with care teams across the care continuum to drive better outcomes and with other stakeholders to support revenue goals and quality improvement programs. So let's dive right in with the question. So how has COVID-19 impacted the ability to get the complete, accurate picture of the patient?
I think, you know, from the beginning, COVID, we realized it was going to disrupt our clinical workflows, the workflows that we've learned even from medical school, where you talk to the patient, you touch the patient, you rely on the information that you can gather from that interview. And at the time, because of safety issues, that was completely disrupted. So then we have to pivot. We had to go and rely more on the data that was obtained by specific members of that workflow, data that was in our documentation data that we needed to exchange through communication platforms so that we provide added safety to the people involved in the care of the patients. So we learned really quickly as COVID pandemic exploded that we needed to make sure that all that information was available for all the members that were taking care of our patients.
Yeah, I agree. And from an informatics point of view, I think from the time the electronic medical record was introduced, there's always been a certain situation putting at odds the ability for the clinician to document accurately the point of care, as well as capture the standard administrative codes that we're going to need to extract that data. I think COVID-19, both in the acute setting and the chronic setting, just magnified that. We didn't have the standard and administrative structured data to accurately capture what the clinicians were seeing at the point of care. So even with the workflow disruption that was just described, the clinicians were still having difficulty finding the structured terms with the correct mappings to describe this patient. We had basically two codes. You had COVID or you had suspected COVID. Well, we know in the real world, you need much more richness and clinical granularity in your terminology to describe these. And that's the data we need to extract to both do, you know, retrospective and prospective analysis.
So Dr. Rube, you know, talk about the impact of not being able to get at the patient data, you know, to manage it and exchange it for the various stakeholders and, you know, talking about clinicians and, you know, financial operations and other business unit stakeholders.
Sure. So any of those areas which you wish to affect, either policy or process, it's all going to be dependent on the quality of the data you're extracting. So if you can't describe your patients accurately, if everybody who has COVID looks the same, it's going to be very difficult to make those decisions, whether those are clinical, financial, as I said, or policy, or even research decisions. We have a lot of terms. We have COVID terms, we have pneumonia terms, but how can you identify that this is a pneumonia due to COVID? That's the critical point here. And so the ability to say, you know, what were one of the main questions? People who were COVID positive with no symptoms were very different than people who were COVID positive who had significant symptoms. We needed to be able to very quickly pull from the data. What reasons could we identify for that?
Great. Dr. Mena?
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I mean, the whole process of admitting and taking care of a patient with COVID at a point in time was risk stratification. So, which is still the case. How do we risk stratify our patients to make sure they're getting the right delivery and the right care? And we had to rely on the data that was available to us to make sure this patient needed critical care or needed non-critical care. So being able to even implement tools that would calculate, you know, is this patient going to need advanced airway? It was very helpful for us during the COVID pandemic.
And without accurate structured data, that became a manual process. And the strain on clinicians and non-clinicians to try to manually extract that data. Once again, let's use the example of pneumonia due to COVID. If it wasn't structured properly, someone would have to go to that chart and say, this pneumonia is due to this. This person has a risk because of this reason, instead of being able to leverage. You know, the EHRs are very powerful tools, but they're only as good as, you know, the content that they have in them.
What are some of the impacts to safety, efficiency, and costs that have resulted from these data management and data exchange issues? Dr. Mena?
Well, I'll speak first to efficiency. I believe that the efficiency, that the impact was a positive impact. In fact, you know, being able to quickly pivot from workflows that we knew had problems, we knew there was gaps in cares and technology, to being able to quickly develop and optimize those workflows in the clinical setting, but also in the technology setting, really helped improve the delays of care and thus improve the care of the patient. Again, we were up against something that no one knew how to deal with, not just as a clinical level, but also at operational level, at the safety level. So we had to quickly innovate and figure out how to integrate that technology into the clinical world. Also making sure that it's not just the data that we extract, is how do we make it actionable? How do we make something that we see in our EMR that's documented, how to make it actionable? And that was very important for us.
COVID did a nice job of exposing some of those weaknesses. And it was at times very impressive to see how we as a community reacted. Sometimes we reacted very, very well and very quickly, and sometimes we had more difficulty. I like to look at things that, you know, we need to have data so that we can learn, then we can react, and then we can learn again. So you reassess, you know, what you've done. Sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But we needed to, you know, as we said, if you remember back to the beginning of the pandemic, every week it seemed to be that there was a new treatment that was working, and then a week later it wasn't, and then a week later something different. Well, the reason we were able to identify those so quickly was because we were starting to gather data in a more efficient way. At the beginning, it was very, very difficult. And then you notice later on that didn't happen as much, because I think those pivots that we were talking about just now, they happen more efficiently and more effectively. But the impact is great. The impact, it's everything. It is safety. It is, you know, clinical. It is financial. Anytime you can't accurately grab that data in order to make a reaction and then learn from that, it's going to impact every one of those points that you asked in the question.
So Dr. Rube, how has the pandemic impacted quality improvement initiatives that rely on complete and accurate data?
Well, I think stemming from the previous question, that, as I said, that now we realize that it's not enough to capture a set of high-level codes that were not necessarily designed for this purpose. So we had a workflow, and I'm not going to date myself. I come back from the days of ICD-9, and if I came up with, you know, my 20 codes that I had memorized in family practice, I was pretty proud of myself. That's not the case anymore. And even with the richness of ICD-10, that's not enough. We need to go beyond that. We need to go beyond SNOMED. We need a terminology that's written in our language. And I mean, physicians and nurses, the language that we were taught to capture this at a level of specificity we need, so that later someone can come and look at this data and say, oh, I learned X from this very easily, without having to go through it with a fine tooth comb and try to extract manually this clinical data. That's, I think, the impact that we're seeing, and we're starting to do that, I think.
Dr. Mena?
Well, I agree with what's been said. But, you know, the beginning of the pandemic just bring back some interesting memories, sometimes some PTSD, if you will, you know, because we were just all scrambling, trying to figure out how to organize ourselves, how to structure and create a framework that would help us deliver that clinical care. But in the center of it was communication, right? So quality improvement at the beginning was completely disrupted, because we had to, the resources that we have for quality improvement, we needed to move it to some other needs. And as we as things progressed, we were able to figure out, well, okay, how do we rely on the data that we're extracting, but not just the data that we're extracting from the EMRs. As Dr. Rube mentioned, it needed to be more granular, it needed to be more specific. But how do we train the people putting in the data to make sure that they're putting in the right data? And if things are changing, really, it was by the hour. Honestly, it's like you sent out an email, a communication, and 2 hours later, disregard, we need to do this now. And it was a learning curve for us to communicate. And that's where we have to have platforms that are, you know, scalable, but that are so intuitive that people can just gather the right information and be able to use it for the right purpose. If that is data gathering in our EMR or any other database, or if that to take action out of the data that we're getting out of those databases.
And that's such an important point, because that was not a new problem. You know, as we say, doctors may not be the best data entry people in the world, but they were coming along slowly. And what COVID did was it just magnified that exact point that Dr. Manu made. You know, some were coasting along, some were getting it. Okay, ICD-10, I need to capture a little more specificity. Well, now, because as he said, things were changing minute to minute, by not capturing, by not describing these patients accurately, by not knowing that, you know, treatment X caused Y, we couldn't react that quickly. It magnified it, you know, incredibly, so that we needed to, you know, really impress on people, we need this data and we need you on the front line to capture this. And that was the difference here. And we're starting to see that as we, you know, are now a year into this.
So Dr. Manna, how can technology then be leveraged or was leveraged to resolve these issues?
Coming back from that last question, I kind of put this at the center of all was communication. How do you get out the information to everyone? Again, for clinical, safety, cost, whatever bucket you wanted to put it in, how do you get that information out? So I thought we were really good, we were well prepared to communicate with everyone. But again, COVID made it evident that we had problems. So what you need is platforms that's gonna provide you with that communication means that if people get that message, they know it's an important message, not like the thousands of emails that we got that we couldn't get through. And that was the reality of it. But if I sent you a message, it's important enough that you need to take action on it. And it had to be the right message. It needed to go to the right person so that, again, they can go back and either, if it's a data entry issue, just like putting a code that's specific enough for quality improvement, for research, even for cost, for financial reasons, right? And or because you needed the right information, medications, therapies were changing all the time. How do I get that information out to the people that need to know it? That now this has changed, or that is what we need to do for COVID patients. So it's, again, the platform that's going to deliver that message.
I think that's very interesting. And I think you have two different perspectives with the both of us here. Dr. Mena being very clinical and myself being, you know, more on the data side in the informatics world, I'm still going to focus on the word communication. I think it's exactly right. My communication, my definition, what I focus on is very different, but it's still, once again, don't think of just emails and phones. That's the more of the clinical world, but also the data world. But then we're also, you know, electronically communicating. Systems have to communicate with each other. Many of the large IDNs have multiple systems, have disparate systems. The people doing the research needed to communicate. This data needed to move around. It needed to go from EHRs to data lakes and data warehouses back into EHRs, back into research. That's another form of communication as well. So I think if you had to pick one word, you know, for what we're discussing today, it is how do we have structured data to improve, you know, the communication of the relevant data points, as you said, whether it's looking back at what we're going to do or looking forward at how we can change things. I think that is the key.
And if I may, I'd like to take it a step beyond. It was not just the communication and the communication channels, but more, if we kind of put in a word, the collaboration, right? Because it was more about, even when we marry technical and clinical, for me was a lot of COVID was, okay, how do I display the data in a way that people will be able to access it, to take action in it, you know? And for us was communicating back and forth with our technical folks, you know, and them to us and say, okay, how do we do this? That was a project. You know, how do we say this is a COVID patient, that this is vaccinated, that patient is vaccinated? So all that, you know, some little things became a huge need during COVID then and still are.
And remember, these worlds didn't always play and still don't always play together. So
exactly.
And it's not, I'm not making it sound like it's, you know, animus, but they're just different focuses. And so, you know, the technical world, the data world, the pure clinical world, they had to learn to collaborate.
Yeah.
And do it very quickly and efficiently. I think the vaccine is probably the most obvious example of that, but certainly not the only one. As simple as getting the information that this works, this doesn't work, out there quickly to the people who need to know about it, as Dr. Mena said, really, really, I think, helped to positively impact the course of COVID we saw in this country.
So Dr. Rube, what lessons learned were achieved from addressing these challenges?
Learned or learning. You know, I think as we said that we, so from my, I'm going to answer this from my perspective. I'm sure there's many clinical, you know, lessons being learned also, but from a data perspective, it really is important to develop a standard. You know, I had a personal issue with a family member who was in the emergency room and they did a COVID test and then was transferred to a different emergency room and they had to do another COVID test because they didn't trust the COVID test at the previous emergency room. So in other words, we couldn't even agree on a standard on how to test. And then what results meant? Everybody said positive. Well, what does that mean? My antibodies are positive. My rapid is positive. All of a sudden, the whole country knows what PCR is, right? You know, 2 years ago, nobody ever heard of, you know, polymerase chain reaction test. So there was a lot of information out there that created a lot of noise. And I think one of the things that I'm looking at is that I live in this data world that is often non-translatable, you know, to humans, as we say. We need to come up with a way to communicate this. And I think we did that. And I think, you know, we did an okay job, but to really streamline information for the public to say, and for the clinicians, here's the test we should do. Here's the results we're looking for. And this is what it means. And that's why I said learning. I think we're still learning how to do that.
Great, Dr. Mena.
So the lessons learned, I believe, you know, going through the experiences first, it's amazing what a group of people that when we come together and we collaborate, what we can come up with. It was really uncertain times. It's still really uncertain times. And I believe, as Dr. Rube mentioned, I think we came out, we've been doing a great job, and everyone who's working in healthcare has been doing a great job from all stands of, well, from the clinical, from the technical, from all the sides. But if I have to go back to collaboration and communication, I whatever we implement in the world of healthcare, it needs to be very intuitive. Us doctors are not trained necessarily in the technological side, right? So we need to have tools that are very, very intuitive. We need to have tools that are scalable. It just like last year, we needed to deploy really quick, really fast. So we need scalability. And, you know, I'm always going to, I mean, as a physician, I'm always going to go back. They need to be clinically oriented. So when we think about workflows and marrying technology with clinical, we need to think about what is the problem and what is the outcome that we want to get out of it so that we can adapt the technology to the clinical world and marry those two. So those are where my lessons learned.
And I couldn't agree more with that. In fact, you know, my approach to data is always just that. If it was up to me, I would never show a code to a doctor. Think clinically, document clinically. It should be up to us to structure that behind the scenes. A doctor shouldn't think, I need to know which ICD or SNOMED code I need to do here so that it gets captured correctly. They need to practice medicine, and they need to say what they want to say. And it's up to us, both CMIOs and, you know, data scientists to say, how can we make that intuitive so they don't have to think about the efficiency of that? Just practice medicine, because that's hard enough. You know, let other people make sure that those processes down the line happen and happen smoothly.
So my takeaway from this conversation is, you know, what we really need is, in order to collaborate and to communicate, is to have a collaborative communication platform that gets, you know, the information, the right information to the right people, you know, at the right time, and that needs to be scalable and intuitive. At the same time, that we're putting all that data into this platform, we really need to have a standard so that we're all speaking in the same language. So it's not just a matter of throwing data into a platform, that we really need to have a standard that everyone can understand, you know, what that data is. So any other final words, any additions to the takeaways that I came away with?
Well, I would just like to add what you said, that standard has to be at the appropriate level of granularity, as Dr. Mehta just pointed out. It needs to be a clinical language. And it needs to be at the appropriate level of granularity, and so that there's no hindrance to capturing it. So that the people at the point of care, which we know is the most accurate time to grab this data, that's the data we start with, and that we begin to, you know, extract these lessons learned from that.
Yeah, and the added benefit to that is the good data going in, it's good data coming out, which will help our quality improvement, our research project will deliver better clinical care.
Great. Thank you so much, Dr. Mehta and Dr. Rube, for your time today.